1.
I love a painting that hangs in the National Gallery in London. It has to me the atmosphere of a memory or a waking dream. It shows a man seated in deep shadow at the corner of two streets, thumb to chin and fingers crooked as if nursing the remains of a cigarette, eyes down and pensive, waiting. Two musical instruments lie next to him on a table, a lute, shining like a new chestnut freed from the husk, and a viola that reaches invitingly towards you as if just asking for its strings to be plucked. For you are here too, somehow, hovering on exact eye level with the man and his table. The painting, so small and mysterious, is peculiarly alive to the nearness of your presence. It puts you on the spot. On this quiet day when the leaves of the young elms are just beginning to turn, and the man in black sits low at the crossroads. Before him, the cobbles rise up and over the gently swelling bridge into a brighter world of red-roofed houses and church spires and dappled light elsewhere. But he remains forever on the outskirts. Arriving in London for the first time in my early 20s, I found a strange counterpart in this painted figure. He, too, was on the brink of something, or perhaps nothing at all, a loner on the edge of events. But he stayed still, never changing, ever faithful in his time and place, while I tried to make my way in this unfamiliar city, without knowing where I was going or what I was doing. The waiting man became a fixed point. The picture in which he appears is nowadays known as A View of Delft with a Musical Instrument Seller's Stall. According to the writing so discreetly lettered on the wall behind the lute, it was painted by C. Fabricius in 1652. Titles are an oddly new invention, evidently unknown or unnecessary to artists of that time, and nobody knows what Fabricius might have called his painting, if anything at all. It's true that he presents a view of the little ringed city of Delft, canal-crossed and storied with recognisable streets and spires. But his vision takes you so close to this man that if he relaxed into movement and dropped his arm down across the table with its sonorous blue cloth and its musical instruments, he could almost touch you with the tips of his fingers. I do not know why the title ignores him in favour of the place or the stall, as if where the scene is set matters more than he does. He's not even looking at this view of Delft, though in a sense we're all gathered before it. The picture, polarised between the shadows and the sunlit stage, takes off towards the bright side, the road sweeping over the canal and into the centre of town, beneath a blue sky that casts its reflection on the waters below. Delft holds its pleasures somewhere over that bridge, but my eyes keep returning to him. In those early days, I didn't care why the man was sitting by a table or about his instruments, the polished lute, the viola with its deep curlicues. Maybe he had made them, or was just trying to sell them, possibly both. I only cared about his darkly handsome presence, head tilted, absorbed, the timeless outsider. He looked as if he might be about to remove a fleck of tobacco with practiced elegance from his lips. We smoked roll-ups back then. His preoccupation was magnetic, contemporary, the pose of thought so subtle and familiar as he waits for someone to come, for something to happen, for life to catch a light.